So I'll start to introduce the speaker then. So first, thank you everybody here for being so early to this talk. You must be very motivated to listen to Franciszek Apfelbeck. He is originally from the Czech Republic and is a biotechnologist by education and training. He is one of the co-founders of the Food Hacking Base, and his main field of specialization is fermentation of food and drinks. So please give a warm welcome to Franciszek Apfelbeck, and the stage is yours.
Thank you. Pam, pam. Okay. Just testing. Wait, I'll make the table. Okay, so we can start. Thank you for coming so early. I generally start my morning breakfast shifts at 6:30, so I think not so bad. Today we will be talking about the fermentation mobile. I will try to keep the presentation within 40 minutes, so we have 20-minute discussion after. If I get a bit too concentrated on something, which is quite easy for me, I will see the signs and I will try to progress continuously. I will tell a bit about myself first. After that, we will talk, you know, about the more general kind of, you know, terms of what is this presentation about. And later on, we will kind of, you know, go through really the important parts, kind of, you know, step by step. And as I said, we will be finishing the discussion. So my name is František Apfelbeck. In the computer world, I use Algoldor, so František Algoldor Apfelbeck. I am from Czech Republic originally, but I don't live in my country of origin for more than 13 or 14 years. I kind of come and visit. I have been living in many different parts of the world, and for now around 8 years, I focus professionally on fermentation. I have been doing already fermentation before because I study in Czech Republic, Holland and Ireland, and I actually was my primary field was biology, the molecular biology or genetic engineering of plants, which I moved later on to the biotechnology. And actually my last project in Ireland was already about fermentation, but I was not very happy with the direction of science, and also the personal fit of myself into the field was not exact. So after discovering the power of the Linux community in 2007, when I really dive in and kind of start to participate and change my system, I left and travel around the world doing fermentation for now many years, trying to go through the open source, alternative, sustainable kind of, you know, fields, getting really involved in that type of environment, because it suits me much better, this community open source kind of model, than the corporate or government framework which I have been involved before. So this is kind of a bit of my background. You probably know Noisebridge, one of the hackerspaces, actually my first hackerspace where I was involved. Later on I've been in several other ones like 091 Labs in Ireland, in Galway. I have been participating in Brmlab. We have been making tours. So we've been in Seabase. We have been in really many different places, which I really appreciate. So this would be kind of that part of the my activities with the hackers. So fermentation, going around the world and learning. In the last, let's say, several years, I am more and more focused really on fermentation in a view that I'm trying to also make my living from it. Because if you cannot make your living from something, you have to do your living from something else. And this presentation is about how to be able to get resources which you need for your life, in my case, through fermentation, as efficiently as possible. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, I do fermentation professionally, meaning I'm really trying to get my living from that for more than 8 years. And I'm still not as stable as I would like to, partly because I was traveling a lot. So I've been in different places like California, I was in Asia, Western Europe, etc. So with the change is more difficult. But there are also other things, and I would say fundamental things, which are actually making it more complicated for the people who would like to do something with the food and drinks, to become really professionalized in a way that they can cover the cost of living. So this presentation will be about how to improve this and make this chance to do in your life what you want more efficient. So now, fermentation mobile. I kind of try to combine three different fields which I believe are really kind of, you know, circling around or kind of, you know, integrating. The first one is fermentation. The fermentation is at the core of the activities because that's what I focus on. It doesn't matter if it's making beer or cider or if you make kimchi, cheese, you know, it's, you know, like, you know, fermentation by itself. Fermentation is now becoming very popular in the Western countries. It was, I wouldn't say exactly wiped out, but considerably decrease in its range and daily application during the, let's say, 1890s and around that time, and later with industrialization, sterilization, pasteurization, you know, introduction of these techniques. We still have some kind of, you know, pure culture ferments like, you know, beers, you know, and wines. But the traditional wild fermentation was more or less, you know, pushed out from the daily life. Now it's coming back. I am very happy for that. There are different concepts which you should be aware of. You already probably know slow food, so very high quality food, you know, from the point of view of processing. You, I'm sure, know bio or organic food, so really low or, like, say, as organic as possible, not using substances which can hurt you. Other things which is very important, of course, and it comes with the distribution, is a fair trade. Sharing in a way that you really kind of care about how do you actually, what you take and what you give. That would be one, let's say, three main concepts. For the fermented foods, I would say really important is trying to serve, for example, live foods. So drinks and foods which are still alive, you consume them, and they still contribute by probiotic and prebiotic qualities to your body. So that would be, like, you know, the main thing which are now being progressive in the fermentation. The second field, which many of you are familiar because we are in a big hacker event, is the food, drink, and biohacking. The definition of hacking of the food, bio, and drinks, it's a bit difficult because everybody has a different point of view. From my point of view is that you apply, of course, that kind of, you know, really observing and curiosity kind of, you know, approach to something what you are interested in this case, for example, food. And you try to do something with it which is new, but you try to understand how does it work. So you are really trying to kind of, you know, come up with something new using something what was there already before, and of course applying things like the open source, you know, sharing, you know, this up to things which hackers are very, I would say, famous for, and which I am very happy too, because for me, for example, the way how the hackers, in a way, and all this, I know, open source movement changed the world of software and hardware in the last few decades. It's amazing. If you imagine, like, you know, that there will be just a Microsoft, in a way, now compared to, you know, having a whole this community of open source Linux, like, it's amazing. The sad thing is that in the fields of especially biotech, the situation is very different, and this is one of the reasons why I definitely would like to ask and, like, galvanized, you know, or bring the help and integration of the hacker movement in this field, because it's very important. People who are more interested in genetic engineering, etc., know how the things are going with Monsanto and others, and there has to be some changes. So, like, it's important to hacking apply also on these fields. Now, the last field, or like third field, let's say, which I mentioned now, it's art. It's of course hard to grab, because, like, what is artistic, what is not. I see it for me as a wonderful way how to bridge cultures, how to bring people together in a way of, like, understanding the things from different perspectives. Art many times, of course, the art many times symbolizes something. So you really come up with a new ideas. You can, for example, think about the peace symbols, you know, creation of the peace symbol, like something what is kind of seeing the things from different point of view. The other thing which is very important for me with the art is that it gives you a personal space for expression. So you can do things some certain way which you like, and it's okay. You find yourself, you know, through the art. So if you combine these three things, I will go to the next one. In kind of, you know, imagine kind of, you know, structure, you will have a system where the fermentation by itself, you try to understand them better. You do, first of all, the fermentation, that's a fermentation field. You try to understand them better from the point of view how they work, both the dynamical and statistic kind of, point of view. You try to combine it with the art, wrapping it all together in a form where you can come out with a new technologies, especially, for example, applied technologies based on the models of really properly kind of observed environment, so you know how this ferment works. You apply to, for example, pilot or small to medium production, and you manage to wrap it all together in a way which you can quite easily share with the people around the world. Of course, all of that properly documented, that's very important. Now, this presentation, like, I have a phrase here because, like, there are several things, you know, which are quite important, and we will go through that in the next slides. So we'll focus on the art of fermentation done by hackers using a dynamic mobile concepts to create also static with practical demonstration at this event and especially after. So what does it actually mean? One more kind of, you know, stat. The fermentation mobile aims to build up stable fermentation communities which can support themselves and the people who are doing the activities in them. And it's done in a way that it tries to minimize the time of setting up this kind of first procedure, starting something is generally very challenging because you don't have too many resources. So this talk is about how to make it more efficiently so you can get to the stage where you are actually really sustainable faster. It's combining the integration into the current legal framework with also mobile approach because you need at the beginning also some resources from outside because you don't have them, let's say, in the community where you are starting. It's not fermentized enough yet. Again, it will be mentioned in the presentation. So it's combining the mobile approach about getting resources from other places too to be able to like overbridge this first period. And it facilitates, of course, by that collaboration by the communities, because if you come to different places and you promote what you do, well, you are getting some resources for yourself and for your community, but you're also giving something back to the community which is hosting, which is very important. So just the now let's say go through the step by step. So legalization of kvasir profession. The ones who don't know, kvasir is one of the words which I use. You can use fermentizer, brewer, there are different words. Person who is doing fermentation. Kvas is ancient word for ferment. In I think Norwegian, like Nordic languages, in Slavic languages for sure too. And it's supposed to come from the kind of the pantheon of the north. It was a being which was actually traveling the world and sharing the knowledge and experience. Later on, the being was killed, and from the blood of the kvasir was created into the meat, so which is, you know, the, I would say, ambrosia of the artist and etc. So it's, I think, really nice, you know, mythology. The word is being still used very often. Kvas is one of the most famous Russian beverages, fermented. Kvas in Czech means basically anything what is fermenting. So I think kvasir in Czech, it's a nice word which I would like to use. So you get the professionalization, sustainability, reach faster, we said that. Leader production, educational activities, this is going to be something what we talk quite a bit about. Income, that's a key, and insurance. These are the main stop, the, let's say, main topics. Now, why fermentation mobile? The fermentation mobile, just to, in a few sentences, so you I understand the practical concept before we go through the theory. In a way, it's as cheap as possible a way how to establish legal education and production center for fermentation. You can imagine easily food truck or food trailer, fermentation trailer, where you have legally established facility. It may be small, doesn't matter so much at the beginning, but you can do your activities legally. So this is what we are going to be talking about, how to do this so you can actually do what you love and being able to get your resources more easily from that. Now, this is something what I do for many years, and I always had the issue of getting what I do out and being able to ask legally people to support me. It doesn't matter if it's education, it doesn't matter, you know, if it's production. It's always an issue because of many hygienic and safety laws. So this is actually something what is very important, because without that, you are always in that kind of shadow economy. You cannot go for the bigger events. You cannot, for example, make drinks and food and beverages and get it out, you know, for some donations. You are very limited. The idea is that this, when you want to start fermentation, you just start in some community. So starting up is a challenge. If you come somewhere, you don't have too many resources. You need to cover your cost of living, and you need to be active somewhere. You need some place for the fermentation. As you see, the fragile economy, the fragile community means the community is not fermentized yet. People don't know you, they ferment a bit or don't. You need some time to kind of, you know, really get them in. I call it fermentize because, you know, this is actually what you really do, like, you know, getting the people in and making the thing happen. However, and the thing is that to be able to do it efficiently, you of course need to cover kind of, you know, your living costs, otherwise you cannot do it easily. You have to do work part times, you kind of, you know, will be in trouble. It's kind of classical catch 42. At the beginning, for example, buying some place or renting the place where you could do your activities long term, it's very difficult because you don't have resources for that. Some big investments, you know, like, you know, borrowing money from the bank, you know, trying to invest, you know, really and getting spot, it's not likely because you don't have generally too much history, and you don't have also support of the community, which doesn't exist yet. So the beginnings, in a very simple words, are difficult. Now, you of course can do things which will help you to succeed. The community build-up pays long-term. If you start to do regular events, which are somewhere around here, regular events build-up community, on Tuesday we do fermentation evenings in Normandy, Cherbourg, where I am based now, in La Cherche artistic community. Every Tuesday we do fermentation evening. Every last Saturday of the month we do fermentation day, which is open to the community. So the first weekly event, like you do probably a lot in your hackerspaces, brings people in who are really into it, the core group which is doing fermentation. And you keep in touch, you do new things. Come to the Furekin base, we have several ferments which we have done during the last months preparing for this event, and taste them, of course. The monthly event bring people in from more, I would say, wider society. From my point of view, great way for promotion and getting resources for what you do. Because if you need to buy a few hundred euros worth of ingredients for the beer making, sugars, you know, for the brewing, you know, of probiotic drinks, you don't want to pay it all the time by yourself. You need to get the money from someone generally who like that and who wants to support you. This monthly events are very good for that. So you, of course, invest lots of time and energy in that, trying to kind of get these resources, getting it more stable. And the thing is, again, like all of these things, for example, now what we do in a way are illegal because we don't have a place and we cannot do it really, like, you know, really by the book. Now, when you are doing all these events and you try to publish it and like share it, they do the recipes, you know, some photo galleries, etc., you are building your fermentation history. This is very important because later on, we'll go through that. If you want later on to get resources to establish yourself real long term, you can use this, really this build-up of kind of documentation and community very well to get more resources for activities. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, crowdsourcing or if it's some kind of government funds. There's of course difference, but it will help you very much. But we will get into that. Now, the last one, the kind of summarization of this. If you manage to, if you have a chance to establish at the beginning for a minimal amount of money, means that you can afford it, a place which will allow you to do actually all of these activities legal, well, that's very good for you, because you have many advantages compared to doing all of this kind of, you know, somehow. And this somehow I know, because I do it somehow for many, many years. It's a nice way to go. It's making the life much more easy in a way. Now, promotion activities and other activities, communities. So, the fermentation mobile, if you have a food trailer or fermentation trailer which allows you to do things legally, you can use it to go out to get resources. You can go for the big events, for example, you know, in a way, in the future, we could be on even like this. A team of few people getting out, for example, homemade or like a little small scale made beers, you know, non-alcoholic drinks, you know, foods, you know, whatever. We could be here making the same thing, same conditions, for example, as the food trucks, and getting the resources in. It's possible because you are legal. You are not legal, no. Very difficult, you cannot be here really. Concerning the exchange, of course, if you go to the places like, you know, hacker tours, you know, you go to the, you do go for different, like, you know, markets, for example. Again, it's a resource, income. Touring make you realize that this one is about more tour, like 2-3 months. If you get your chance and you go around, like, you know, really traveling, it's very nice, like, you know, I say, like, washing your head, cleaning your head, and you meet lots of new people. You, of course, spread the knowledge very intensively. Touring, it's kind of taking lots of energy, but it also kind of, you know, really galvanize, fermentize, you know, the communities. So it's something what I really like for like 2 months tours, you know, 3 months tours, very nice thing to do. Of course, if you have a legal kind of, you know, base, you know, like it's beautiful. This is again the data. If you document all these activities, you will be able to later on use it not only like that you have a more like beautiful photos for your presentations, you know, but if you do things on a regular basis for a long term, people remember. People remember, it takes years, but you get your social networks, you know, much stronger. And if you come back to the people, kind of, you know, you stay in touch, it really allows you to do things which are very hard to achieve just by one big kind of, you know, bank, you know, and few months of effort. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I definitely recommend good documentation for the hackers. It's very important. It doesn't always happen, kind of, but we are trying. So this is something that is important, because really it will help you. This one is something what is connected directly with fermentation, but it's now applied in many other fields too. If you produce something what is fermented, you are prolonging, let's say, the digestibility of the product. Fermentation is used to conserve, to preserve nutrition. The thing is, even then, it doesn't last forever. And if you, of course, have the legal status, you can sell it, which is great. You can get resources. But also, if you see that you have something too much, you can decide, okay, let's give it away. You know, give it to the non-profits, you know, like, you know, Food No Bombs, you know, to the local charities. If you are legal, you can do it. If you are not, most likely you'll be not able to. So if you can do it legally, then actually you are much more likely to get closer to the, I would say, unachievable goal of zero waste, but you can do much better than we do now. And for me, this kind of, you know, system of sharing and caring compared to what is happening now around the world, you know, through the corporate structures, etc., is very important. So, like, it's something, again, what helps you if you are able to do things properly, legal. Now, the last one, I'm not a big fan of, actually, I'm not a fan at all, insurance. If you want to do fermentation, I think generally food and drinks, you need to be legal and insured. If you are not legal, you can not be insured, which means you can be quite easily accused through, you know, based on true facts or not, and it can completely, I think, destroy what you are doing, because it can go really quickly quite wrong. So far, we have been very lucky in my activities. We had some incidents in the past, which happens, generally some explosions, when people do not pay enough attention or just, you know, like do mishandle things. Unfortunately, it happens. Of course, you want to avoid any incidents. On the other hand, it happens. So insurance, it's not something that I enjoy. I think it's very much misused by the people who have already loads of money. But if you want to do a project of this type, you need it. Now, how does it happen? Okay, so there are different steps. One more boring than other, to be honest, but they have to be done. If I'm talking about legality, you have to get it somehow. Imagine that food or fermentation trailer. How do you do it? First of all, you should think, what are your options? We will mention the two major ones. It is education non-profit, which I would recommend. Many hackerspaces have already the structure, so we are very familiar with that one. The second one, it's some type of small business. In France, for example, where I'm now based, it's called micro-enterprise. It's an option, like, you know, how you can get easily in and do your business kind of, you know, on a really like small level. We'll talk about it in a minute. First of all, however, you check what is in your country the way. So what are the legal entities, you know, what you can apply. And of course, like, it depends what is the direction which you want to take, because there are different possibilities. Or, you know, the really things which you want to do. More educational, more practical and production, you know, it's up to you. The laws. There are laws which you have to at least consider that they are existing at the beginning of the application procedures. It's a very good idea to find out first what these laws are. If you have someone who can help you with that, very good, because it's sometimes really messy. So really make sure that you know quite pretty well what is the legal framework in which you are operating. It is mandatory if you want to get certified and get the stuff, you know, like, that I am here, you know, in some certain shape which is recognized by the local and like state authority, you have to go through that. Do not underestimate it. It's a kind of waste of time, but it has to be done. Now, enforcement. That's the second stage. So you know the laws. Now, of course, you want to know how much they are enforced. Like, do I have to really pay too much attention to that or not? What are the legal loops? Even more important, kind of, how to get your stuff done, even like, you know, when the law is not exactly in your way. I know many examples which kind of show how much the reality and kind of the paper is different, or how it differs. I know, for example, when I was in Japan, in Kyushu, I volunteered in a very nice place, Omura, and my patron with his wife, Japanese wife, and the guy was Canadian. They have a very nice bakery, also educational institute for the kids for English, and the organic garden. And their procedure of certifying their bakery, organic bakery, was more or less that they kind of wrote down like kind of what they plan to do, what is inside, make some basic plans, send it out. After they got it back, you know, with a stamp, and they were certified. They have never ever seen someone coming, you know, with like checking, you know, all the kind of detailed things, you know, similar thing, you know, when I'm now, for example, in Normandy, another friend was getting certified for his production facility, small one, and it was more like a happening, you know, on the phone, you know, like, okay, do you have a proper ventilation system? Can you open the window? Yes,
No problem. Done.
You don't see anyone. So some things may look really hard, but in reality, actually, people go quite straight around them, and it's okay. Some other things may be quite complicated, like, for example, if you have a fermentation room for the beer, lager, etc., and you need to make sure that your removal of carbon dioxide is done properly, there are places where they really insist on that you have it done well. If not, you will not get your license for doing what you want. So you have to be really, well informed. Now, people already in. This is many times the key. For me, for example, because I would like to have something like the fermentation truck, let's say, I go to the people who are doing all the food trucks in the place and I talk to them. And especially if you are not a future competition from their point of view, they can give you absolutely amazing info very quickly. You go for a few pints or a few dinners, and you basically really get, get this trail, not that one, apply this, times like, it will take you 2 months, 5,000 euros. You get an enormous amount of practical information, which you should combine with the more, I would say, official information. Incubators and support centers. Most of the places these time in Western Europe, they have something like incubators for supporting or promoting the local business kind of activities. Some of them are non-profit, some of them are governmental-based. They can be very handy because they are able to do for you by questioning actually government, taking you as a project. They can communicate with the government structures, the hygiene, safety, etc. In your stead, and especially if you are in a country where you are not originating from, it's very important. However, please keep in mind two things. They are generally blue collars, so they don't have too much practical experience and they go by the book. That's one thing. So always combine it with the info from the people who are actually doing the stuff, if you can, and your experience, of course. And the second thing is they are, at least in France, not exactly quick. So like my last demand on something was like in June or July, and the next meeting will be September. So it depends. It may be faster, but do not expect exactly like a business style of efficiency. Things to keep in mind, lost change. So what was done before when you started may go in different direction. It may be harder. Generally, the laws do not change for better, concerning how flexible you can be in your sloppiness when you prepare something. So keep an eye on this. Generally, if you are in, you are already certified, you should be quite all right, till somebody who has a similar setup like you blows it up, and they come and check you too. So, but once you are in, it should be all right. But keep in mind that, things are changing. Now, the certification. You generally want to, if you want to get legal, you need to get legal for something. You want to produce something, if you want to be kind of producer. Because otherwise, the government body doesn't know what to do with you. So you have to come with something. I recommend to choose, of course, some product which is simple and which allows you to get the certification as simple as possible. It doesn't mean that this product is the only thing which you do, but it's kind of the opening, it's kind of shield. Simple product generally is the one which is being done in that country already. So it's certified and they know it. So you can reasonably well link them, or they can find the connection to the kombucha, which is already being prepared for 5 years in this location and has all the stamps. If you come with something new, it's really sometimes very difficult to kind of do this with the government. You will have to go through that, but try to avoid it as much as you can at the beginning of your legal legal existence, because it may fail, you can make really get months and months of delays. So try to get something simple. Of course, having selection of fermented products which you know quite well how to do, so you can choose the proper one, it's very handy. because you can kind of, you know, adapt, and that you do another 5 or 10 ferments later on, that should be no problem. That's a different story later. Now, no-nos. No-nos are things which you definitely do not put on your application form. Like, you know, meat, if you can avoid, like, at the beginning, just, you know, like, no meat products, if you can. And number two, like, I would say number one, alcohol. At the beginning, I would definitely, for 1 or 2 seasons, try to recommend not to touch alcohol, even the low percentage one, like cider or wine or beer. It is possible to do it, but it's always much more complicated on all the different, you know, all the different kind of, you know, levels. So that one I would recommend to get in a bit later on. So no-nos are basically the things which you want to avoid if you want to live in a reasonable kind of, you know, mind state, you know, during these procedures. Education, non-profit, micro-enterprise, and combine. So I was already saying that there are different types of legal entities. The most easy is the non-profit. You can set it up very quickly, generally without 1 month, minimal investment, if some at all. You need some people in, generally it has to be at least 2 or 3 people, kind of, so there is some structure. So it's a very nice, very easy accounting, you know, so lots of positives. One of the negatives, in a way, is that you will have a problem to claim income or make income. You can make a profit in many of these structures, but you have to invest them back to the, you know, activity, depending, of course, there are many different possibilities, you know, which way exactly you go, but you will have a problem to really get wages. So this is one of the issues. Of course, it's kind of up to you how much you claim. Like, if you go for a market and you made there 300 euros, well, you know, like, you know, not all of the things are on the ticket, you know, so it's up to you how much you say you earn and you kind of really put to the tax. On the other hand, if we are talking about the really nice documentation of the project, like, if you start to miss like 50% of the income, you know, it's starting to completely play with the numbers and it's get messy. So be careful about this aspect of really getting money which you need to be able to do it, so it supports your cost of living. Micro-enterprise. That's actually like a very nice setup, which I don't try yet, but some of my friends are going that way. In France, it costs around 200 euros and 4 to 5 days of training. Before it was for free and no training. Now we have a training. You are able after that to do business. I'm not sure exactly what is the income, like 40,000 euros or maybe 200,000 euros. It's quite pretty decent. You can do it and have your living from that. The thing is that also quite easy accounting. So that's an advantage. So it's quite pretty simple still. I personally recommend to combine because if you make two different structures, then you can actually really pull the resources from different sources and it's much more easy. I think it's a very nice kind of way to go. Also with a non-profit, for example, in France, you should remember that if you are in a direct competition with some business, France has the type of laws which actually can cut you off, you know, because you are actually kind of, you know, destroying their business, which is so important. So of course, having the option of a four business, you know, entity helps to avoid this problem. Now, we will now talk about a little bit the thing. As you see, I have the experience of doing the fermentation and I have experience with setting up the fermentation centers, but not the certified ones. So at the moment, I am now preparing in my mind, you know, the mobile kind of, you know, fermentation center. And we will talk about some things which I believe really should be there. It's not very detailed. I will explain in a bit why. But it's kind of the beginning and I have the idea quite pretty good how it should look like. Now, multifunctional design. If you want to be able to do different ferments, you should at least demonstrate that you can do it in this setup. Please realize, like most of the people who are doing food trucks and things like that, they do not do produce their things in the food truck. They have it in their home kitchen, whatever, like setup, which is non-certified, and they use actually the fermentation or like, you know, the food truck as a kind of, yes, I do it here. There are 2 stainless sinks, so I fulfill the legal requirements.
rights. So it's kind of, you know, cover. But it works, and generally the institutions let them be. However, still, you should be at least able to demonstrate that you can do that thing, like, you know, that you can make that kombucha or kimchi in this kind of thing, because if you don't, then, like, you know, it's starting to be really a bit questionable. So you should be able to mimic at least a little bit. Materials. So you have some design which kind of allows you to do different things. You have to, of course, you know, make it happen. You have to construct it. In this case, it's mobile center, so you want something what is, if possible, light. Of course, it has to be hygienically kind of, you know, reasonable, not too expensive, reasonable to work with. Unfortunately, it's very hard to find these materials which will be all great, you know, kind of, you know, cheap, abundant, you know, easy to work and perfect, hygienically safe. More or less, it ends up, I think, with a steel construction and stainless on the top. It's, I think, the best setup which you can get and quite reasonable. So that with the materials, of course, the weight is important. I will jump on that a bit, but the first prototype which I want to build should be within 750 kilos, because that's a legal requirement in EU for the trailer. And if you want to have life, you know, easy life with this, you want to try to keep it within the weight. If you go up, many things start to be complicated, and you try, at least for the beginning, again, to make it happen, you want it to have it simple. Like second generation, it can be different, but first one, simple. Now, you have to think about the activities which you want to do in. The standard activities mean, okay, if I want to make kimchi, if you know what is kimchi, it's a fermented vegetable, lacto-fermented, which is done in Korea. You need to cut your onions, you can have, like, you need to clean, you need to peel, you need to cut, you need to bottle, etc. So you need some desk, for example, where you do it, which is stainless. You need some refrigeration place for your ferment, so they keep at optimal conditions which if, when you go for the events. You have your experimental incubator, which we are developing with Techink, which is actually keeping the ferments at optimal conditions, oscillating the temperature or not. You need some devices in. You have some standard activities, which you know you'll be doing on a regular basis, especially if you do workshops or some events. And you will have some special activities, like you have special workshops, or like, you know, really something very specific. You come and you want to make a glowing drinks. So, okay, that's a bit different setup, you know. If you want to make a workshop, for example, of course, I would like to be teaching. It's one of my really passions. So you come to the place, and it'll be very nice if you can just get sight of the trailer out, cover the place so 10, 15 people can actually do something even when it's raining around, and your workshops happen with actually small kind of, you know, fully set up place with water, etc., electricity, supporting you, the fermentation mobile. So you have to go through this. Now, the design and how to make it happen. It's very simple in a way. The resources are very limited. At the moment, I have moved back from Korea or Asia, where I lived nearly for 5 years. So I'm establishing myself back in Europe. I have to be very careful about my resources because I'm still not as stable as I would like to. Perfect, thank you. So I suggest for this having a very basic design. It can be translated in a way that we have to do it in a way which is simple, so it can be done reasonably well. So not, you know, multifunctional design is amazing, but it has to be still quite pretty simple to do. It has to be cheap. You know, like, you know, it has to be reasonably cost, so it doesn't go too far. We will be going through the cost in the budget very soon. Build a prototype. We are not here to spend, like, I'm not aiming on spending like next half year or year or building the fermentation trailer and playing with every screw in it. I am after getting the fermentation trailer together and get it certified. And like these two things are actually very important together, you know, like, so concentrated too much on one and missing the other, that's not a good idea. That's not what is this about. It can be in the future, but at the moment, it's really finding an easy way how to make this happen. In other words, there will be plenty of space for improvements. I think that's the phrase which is being used. Trailer option, already mentioned before, I have been considering many different setups. Of course, food truck would be lovely. But if you would like to have a food truck, it means something what can move you around because it has already an engine. It's more expensive. Food truck, a decent one, I would say would be minimum 6,000-7,000 euros. After it's also some, you know, kind of, you know, adjustments. And you will have to pay insurance all the time. Also, if you would like to borrow the thing to someone, which would be great, you know, to another team which is going to do the tour or something, it will be issue because of the insurance, etc. Trailer has advantages that up to 750 kilos, it kind of near doesn't exist from the legal point of view. You don't have to pay the insurance in the meanwhile. It's much cheaper. You can get a trailer base for 500 euros or so and build it up if you like. Or you can get a trailer which is actually very suitable for your purposes within like 4,000 euros. It's possible. So like, you know, it's a different dimension of, you know, investment. That's the reason what I would like to go for. There's one limitation which is a bit nasty. 750 kilos is not too much. If you are supposed to come for an event like this, and you would like to have with you at least, I would say, like, you know, for example, 1,000 liters of fermented drinks, an example, then, like, you know, that's 1,000 kilos. And, your fermentation trailer by itself without any kind of thing in will probably be around 500 kilos. So at the moment, I'm trying to aim on the weight limit that we will be, for example, around 500 kilos if possible with the trailer and having at least like 200 kilos, 300 kilos of the carrier capacity. But it's very clear that for big events, this is not sufficient. So just keep it in mind. This is one thing with a small, this kind of light and simple solution, this is a complication. I didn't click further. Now, timetable. There are last two or three slides. The timetable is goes like this. Crowdsourcing campaign like will be in September. Now I'm presenting and I'm going to be busy in the next few weeks visiting my country of origin, coming back to Normandy. During September, I want to start to promote and crowdsource. The build-up should be done latest around mid of October, meaning starting. And really latest, if for me, if the crowdsourcing goes well, I would like to have the base for the trailer or the trailer as quickly as possible and start to work on it. It will take at least month and a half, I would say. I would say by the mid of November, it should be in a very final stages. It's possible, but it's going to be busy. Now, the certification. Because of the Christmas and because of the fact that I'm in France, like, you know, trying to certify anything, you know, within a month and a half or so, it's already deadly, but I think there is a chance. I will be honest, in the worst case, it may take a little bit longer, but I really would like to do latest by the second half of November, start the certification procedures of the thing. The legal entity can be started already before, and it will have to be. The presentation, if all goes well, but I cannot predict yet, concerning being allowed to, I would like to present the project on the 34C3 in Leipzig. However, in this case, it means I would like to have fermentation mobile there and really use it and show it. It will be demonstration. Practical demonstration of the thing. Now, budget. I would say that within 4,000 to 5,000 euros, it is possible, doable, depending on the amount time which I can spend on it, plus how many people are going to help and how much people are really organized and they have the knowledge. With 6,000 euros, it's quite much more easy because then I know that, for example, for 4,000, I can buy actually already prepared trailer, and for let's say 1,000 euros, I can just very quickly adjust it. And for me at the beginning, I am fine not spending like, you know, half year of everyday labor on building the trailer. It's fine. Now, 2,000 to 4,000 euros then in materials, that's the estimate, and 1,000 euros I ask for human time resources, most of it for me, that in the time, like for that 3-4 months, September, October, November, December, let's say, I can cover like things like my social insurance, healthcare, basic things which I have to pay, and I may have to also ask someone to help. So I may have to invest 200-300 euros to guy who is going to do some really stainless steel job which I don't know, things like that. I think within 1,000 euros it's possible. So around 5,000 euros budget for the crowdsourcing campaign as a minimum, 4,000 to 5,000, that's doable. Now, there are two pictures of me already doing what I would like to use, for example, the fermentation center for. This is me in a Korean military uniform, which I got from the garbage in Korea, doing my first or second cider or first seasonal cider in Normandy. Crusher behind me, I'm very happy. It worked quite pretty well. By the way, for example, for this project, which I want to do again, local crop processing project, when I use different crops from around place, for example, my local village in Kout na Šumavě in Czech Republic, I would be able with this setup to produce, for example, a full nice organic fresh apple juice, pasteurize it if I like. I can make dried apples and I can make packages. You know, if somebody would like to kind of, you know, later on contribute and buy it or get it for donation, I can do that legally. It would be very handy. But for example, for this season, like 2017, no cider. I know that. But maybe for the, you know, season in 2018, if I get certified, it could be possible already to get for the cider, which is now being developing in my country. And I know that if I get into that, for example, it will be, or it can be, part of my living earned through fermentation. So it's really like, you know, step by step. I would like to thank you for listening to me and coming so early. There is the link to the fermentation mobile on our wiki at Food Hacking Base. I really hope it's fermentations mobile, not fermentation mobile, because when I was putting the address in, I was of course disconnected. I have some issues with the network here. If you are interested and you would like to get in touch, please do so. The email is definitely correct. So write to me. If you know someone who can be interested in this too, please share it. We are now at the end of my presentation time because I would like to dedicate 10-15 minutes to the discussion. So once more, thanks, and I open the ground to discussion now. Thank you.
Thank you, Franciszek. So, anyone with any question can go for the microphones here or in the middle of the tent. And Franciszek, as you said at the beginning of your talk, the power of a community, isn't it amazing that we have this event and it's all organized by volunteers?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, give them a big applause for all the volunteers and the angels. First question.
Yeah, so you mentioned that you wanted to try and model it off of something that already existed to make it easier to certify. Is Mike working?
Yes, just get closer.
Sorry. Yeah, you mentioned as part of kind of making this simple and quick to stand up, modeling it after something that already exists.
Yep.
Have you seen someone else do some similar method here, like a fermentation trailer type approach?
Fermentation, okay, I will be honest on this one. I need to do more research on who is doing what. I know there are people like the new wave, which was started by Sandor Katz. You probably know of Wild Fermentation, Art of Fermentation. He is the author of the book, and he is the person who is kind of re-fermentizing or fermentizing America. There are people who got inspired by him and others, and they are already touring, for example, United States with similar setup. So I want to get in touch, but honestly, like with the minimal resources which I have now and establishing myself in Normandy, I had to put this on a side. So I am not in a direct touch yet with people who are actually making this happen already in the States. In Europe, I am not aware of yet about kind of project like this, because also the food trucks, food trailers, they are kind of like old, but also a new thing. It's now getting popular and more things happening, but I am personally not in touch with them. I do have experience, for example, when I was trying to get kombucha certified in Korea, which was not happening because it was like kombucha was not existing in Korea as a legal thing. We start to touch on it, you know, where actually to go, where to ask, okay, can I sell this? Can I produce it? It was very complicated and nobody would be like, you know, like wanting to really get in that because it's complicated. It's not being done. So both for the fermentation trailer and what you want to do in it, will be more easy because like the beer, ciders, you know, kimchi, kefir, it's being made in EU. So like, you know, at least in the like United States, EU, this would be, I think, quite pretty simple because you can use all the samples, things which are being done legally. The problem would be, or like, you know, the technical thing may be the fermentation trailer, but in this case, I may really try to hide, for example, behind sauerkraut. Okay, this is a fermentation cabbage, you know, like, you know, done, you know, in this place, you know. This is the fridge, you know, this is my cutting board, you know. We will see, you know, like till I start to really progress on this, and that means I need to prepare, I cannot say directly. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, thank you. Next piece. I hope that, you know, we will discuss, you know, we don't have so much time. And of course, if, you know, after that, you can come to Furekin Base. We are set, you know, in a Liškov field. Well, there is a sign, you know, you will find it quite easily, I think. And we can discuss later on, especially in the evening, you know, more. Yes?
At home, I started with fermentation lemonades, making lemonades, and for a year now, and quite easily I can produce lemonades for vegetarian restaurants in my city. Mm-hmm. But what are the problems? I have no certification. I do it in my kitchen.
Get closer to the mic. Yes. Yes.
Okay. I do it in my kitchen, and it's just homemade.
Yeah.
I have no problems with selling them to the restaurants, but what are the risks? Do you know something about that?
Yeah. I have been through this many times. Like, for example, again, in Korea, I could get, like, it's always, this is the thing, you know, like, you know, you can be in that kind of gray zone. Like, we could, for example, produce, okay, we had a small restaurant, so I could produce drinks, like, you know, in my fermentation facility, which I built up for this purpose, which was nice for me, like, useful. I could sell them in my establishment. I could go, for example, for a small market, like, you know, like places where you can really sell for some period of time. Later on, they prohibited, by the way, on the island. So people who are going doing this and they don't have a legal certification, big problem. I couldn't sell them in supermarkets. I couldn't sell them really in the bars and restaurants because they kind of reasonably ask, okay, so can you show me just, you know, the legal stamp that this is a hygienically safe, you know, and this is certified? Because if something happened to the customer and they would say, yeah, this drink is from, you know, like, you know, we don't know actually, it will be them who would be responsible. And the thing is, like, there are a few things. One is that somebody gets sick, like, you know, it can happen, you know, like, you know, it shouldn't, but, you know, it could in theory, or they can get, of course, sick after something else, but they can claim it was you. So that's one. Second, as I mentioned with your lemonade, if they are fermented, it can explode. And this happens several times to me. It's not so much that, you know, I would, for example, make the fermented beverage wrongly, but people do not treat it properly. And if you have a fermented drink, which is live, and you let it, you know, at 40 degrees somewhere, like, you know, it will continue fermenting. If it's glass bottle, you can find later on the sharpness, you know, in your ceiling or body. And you don't want that. So if they are friendly towards you, it's very good. The question is how far you would be able to go. And if there is, like, you know, it may get complicated. If you can do, you know, like, you know, exchange like this, it's great. There are many places which are actually completely going around. Like in Korea, for example, we could get our drinks out on the internet. You know, if it was not too big production, legally we could sell it through the internet. I am quite sure you could make some deliveries, like through the, you know, like the relay, like the box, like the farmers do, you know, with veggies. You could do similar thing like that, you know, with the drinks. But if you get certification, like, it's more easy because also you would be able to get the insurance. I really don't like the insurance, but if things go wrong, it can be a huge difference, because if something happened to someone and it's kind of like, you know, losing eye or something, you know, it can be something what, to my experience, can be really, really heavy financial kind of, you know, constraint for many, many years, because, you know, you have to reimburse. I hope it doesn't happen, but it's one of these stresses which I definitely would like to avoid. Of course, like, first you want to technologically avoid it so it doesn't happen, but if it does, unfortunately, because of whatever reason, it's good to have a chance to be at least partly protected. But thank you for the info, you know, concerning this, you know, being able to produce and get it out without, like, with friendly approach from the locals. That's important.
One of the problems is also that you produce it, and then the time when it become consumed,
yep,
must be not too long. And
sorry, once more.
The time to producing and consumption must be not too long time.
That's specific for probiotic drinks. For example, like, you know, if you want to have them effective and really kind of working well that they are still contributing probiotically to your gut. It's few weeks, month too, but after it's very delicious drinks, they are still nice, but not so active, and you need to keep them refrigerated, which is quite a high cost.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Next, please. Do we have still next?
More questions. Yeah, you have maybe two, 3 more minutes.
Okay. 2-3 minutes. So that's one
so
more question.
So hurry up. A short question. You're running out of time. And if you want to contribute to this event as an angel, please go to the info tent and register yourself. We need a lot of helping angels.
Especially for the teardown. Okay.
Yeah, so have you heard anything about a contract brewing kind of fermenting? So I know like with beer, there's the contract brewing side, but is there anything from a fermentation side, so using someone else's certified equipment
to
do what you want to do?
I have heard about that. Well, it depends what do you want to do. Like for me, like, you know, I really want to brew, which means, you know, I want to brew myself. I have seen the system, and again, like my last experience is Korea. There were businesses which are starting completely like that. Some of them actually are saying directly, okay, we brew somewhere else. Some of them kind of been hiding, oh, we are brewery, but actually somebody else brew for them. There were loads of problems, especially in Korea, because the quality of production was basically going completely from like, you know, like good, bad, you know, and you couldn't do too much about that. It was actually suggested to us several times, let's get some, you know, kind of someone to make the drinks for you. But especially in the environment in Korea, in that time, I didn't want to do it because I knew that I'm doing actually something very, very special and new in the field. And I wanted to have a chance not to become rich, but become established and being able to use the resources, you know, from this kind of being on the edge to continue doing stuff which I like. And I was, I think, very rightly worried that, you know, they would basically steal it from you very quickly. Technology like that. It's a different thing if you are in a place where already these things are established. Like, I think Europe would be much safer. And it's one of the options how you could actually start really getting your products through the another facility which is certified. There's an interesting place, for example, in San Francisco. It was in 2010, I was there last time. There was an interesting place called Underground Market. You could come there and without being certified, you could actually sell your product. The trick was that you have to pay, I think, €2 or $2, you know, by the entrance, saying, if anything happens to me, it's fine. It was prohibited within like 3-4 months because it was illegal. But they managed actually later on to get more than $100,000 in a crowdsourcing campaign. And they established a big kind of, you know, community kitchen where you could actually rent a place in a legally certified kitchen and do your production on very limited kind of cost. The renting was kind of as cheap as possible, and you could actually legally produce your things. So there was another kind of, there are many ways, you know, how to sneak around. But one of the most easy ones, and this is the reason why I present the Fermentation Mobile, is having your own spot, because if you can get for €5,000-6,000 a place where you can do the stuff, compared to the, like, we are talking, even if you lease the place, which is difficult, if you don't have the connections to really be safe that you can for 5, 6, 7 years doing something, do something somewhere, and they don't kick you out, and you have 5, 6, 7 years to do it, you still talk about 10, 15,000 euros for reconstructions generally and the certifications. If you want to buy, like 40, 50, 60,000 euros minimum. These things you can get. You can get to the position when you do it. But Fermentation Mobile is more designed like the first 2-3 years, which are hardest, to make them as short as possible, that you get as quickly as possible to the position that you are getting as much resources which as you need from doing these things with using this setup. And after, of course, after 2-3 years, because you are building your history both legally and in the community, you can run crowdsourcing campaign, you can apply for the grants, because you can just already say, I am just enlarging, I need a more permanent location. And that's kind of the way which I suggest, but this kind of brewing, you know, for example, getting your alcoholic beverage during that time somewhere where you can do it legally, it's an option, definitely.
Oh, thank you, Franciszek, and we ran out of time. If you have more questions for him, he's in the food hacking tent, right?
Yep, food hacking base, yes.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, a big applause for him.